Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read today, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24, where we read as follows in the name of Jesus. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the word of the Lord. The central truth of the Holy Scriptures is that a lost and condemned sinner is justified and saved eternally, not by obedience to the law, but through faith alone in Christ the Savior, who by his obedience and death has won righteousness and eternal life for us. And no book of the Bible presents this precious truth more clearly than St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. In this letter, the apostle pleaded with the Christians living in the province of Galatia to stay with the gospel they had heard. False teachers had invaded the church, and they insisted that faith in Jesus was not enough to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. They taught salvation by obedience to the law. It was an attractive teaching. If we teach that the way to eternal life is by obedience to the law, we motivate people to obey the law, don't we? But it doesn't really work out that way. The teaching that we are saved by our good deeds does not promote more good deeds. Rather, it promotes hypocrisy and it enslaves us. The law threatens with death those who don't obey it. It can't change the heart so that we can love God and neighbor as we should. It can only condemn us for our disobedience. The simple truth of the matter is that the pure gospel of justification by faith alone is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to live holy lives. The law cannot make us good. The gospel can. When St. Paul tells us to walk in the Spirit, he's telling us to trust in Christ our Savior. Reckon yourself to be a Christian. Consider who and what you are. You belong to Christ. You're clothed in his righteousness. You have his Spirit living within you. So walk in the Spirit. That is, fix your eyes on your Savior who died for you, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's a war going on inside of every Christian. We have the Holy Spirit who filled us when we were baptized. We also have the flesh, that is, the old sinful human nature that clings to us until the day we die. As St. Paul says in our text, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The flesh wants to please himself. He despises the law. He hates the gospel. He is his own Lord and God. He cannot be reformed. He cannot be converted. And he wants exactly the opposite of what the Spirit wants. He remains a part of us as long as we are living in these dying bodies. If you suffer distress because you want to do what is good and you find yourself falling into sin, if there is a spiritual battle going inside of you, then take heart. This isn't a sign that you're not a Christian. It's a sign that you are, because the spirit and the flesh can't tolerate one another. But when you are perfectly at peace, without any spiritual conflict at all, and you think you're living the holy life God called you to live, it's time to stop and take a serious look at yourself. Is that so? Are you rid of the flesh? Have you died and gone to heaven? If you think you can live your Christian life here on earth without experiencing any spiritual conflict, you're wrong. Walking in the Spirit means that we take stock of who we are. We are Christians. We've been called out of darkness into the light of God's truth. The law can't condemn us because we have Christ, and he faced the condemnation of the law as our champion. St. Paul puts it this way in our text, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law can't judge you, it can't condemn you, it can't drive you away from God and expel you from the fellowship that you enjoy with God's church, because you are identified by the gospel, not the law. The law condemns the flesh. In so doing, the law stirs up the very passions and sins that it condemns. But when we are led by the Spirit, when we're seeking the kingdom of God and laying claim to Christ's righteousness, we're not under the law. It can't judge us or drive us into defiance. It must remain silent. The Christian is tempted by the works of the flesh. He can easily fall into them. When he falls, he repents and renounces his sins. The works of the flesh can't claim the Christian because the Holy Spirit lives in his children, and he leads them into a life of repentance. And this is an extremely important point. Falling into temptation and sin is one thing. Embracing the sin and claiming it is good is something quite different. The Spirit fights against the flesh. When the Christian no longer engages in spiritual warfare, that means he's no longer a Christian. Now, what are the works of the flesh? They're obvious. The apostle lists 17 of them. He begins with sexual sins, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. These are sins against the body. The body is treated as if it exists purely for itself. But God created the body, and he established sexual intimacy, and he placed it within the marriage of one man and one woman for as long as they both shall live. Next, the apostle lists sins against true worship, idolatry, and sorcery, the attempt to gain supernatural power or knowledge through various mediums is to offend against the name of God. Every offense against God's name and God's word is a work of the flesh, who won't be bridled by anything but his own desires. And then Paul lists one sin after another that displays the selfishness of our sinful nature. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. This is the very opposite of love. Self-love is celebrated today as a wonderful virtue. In fact, it is a close twin to selfishness, and selfishness always makes the self the standard of right and wrong. St. Paul concludes his list by mentioning both drunkenness and gluttony. The flesh wants what it wants and is never satisfied. After listing the works of the flesh, the apostle makes it crystal clear that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The works of the flesh are obvious, the apostle says. They are obviously wrong. But what does the flesh in its arrogance do? The old, unregenerate, corrupt, and incorrigible flesh takes what God established, twists it into perverted forms, and then claims that God did it. This just happened last month. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America voted to, quote, recognize, support, and hold publicly accountable lifelong monogamous same-gender relationships, and to permit homosexuals to serve as pastors. The adopted resolution claimed that the Holy Spirit was guiding them, but the Holy Spirit was not guiding them. The flesh was. The confusion between the Spirit and the flesh comes about because the ELCA does not hold to the Holy Scriptures as the clear and inerrant Word of God. A Bible with errors in it is useless as a standard of teaching for the church. What the Bible says about homosexuality is crystal clear for those who choose to listen. St. Paul writes in Romans 1, verses 26 and 27, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due." The decision to permit openly unrepentant homosexuals to persist in their sin, so long as they continue committing it with the same person, is an act of unspeakable cruelty against homosexuals. God loves all sinners, including homosexuals. And those who defend this decision appeal to the gospel, but the fact is it deprives homosexuals of the gospel because it deprives them of repentance. Instead of being told to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, homosexuals are told to celebrate the flesh. But consider this warning that God gave through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The road to hell is paved with the works of the flesh. It may seem an easy road, but it's work to walk on it nevertheless, and that's because those on the road to hell have no rest in their travels. All they have are works, and they're bitter works because there's no forgiveness from God for the sin with which their works are filled. But there are no works of the Spirit. There is fruit. The flesh works for what it gets. The Holy Spirit gives and gives and gives some more. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit doesn't come about by our hard work. It comes about by the genuine working of the Holy Spirit through the gospel. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love comes from being loved. The perfect obedience and vicarious suffering of Jesus is love. It is love for the Father. It is love for us, God's children. And when we receive through faith the love which has taken all our sins away, we are filled with love as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then this love produces joy, not a shallow happiness that comes and goes, but the joy of being at peace with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this peace produces patience. We don't need to get what we want when we want it because we already have everything worth having. And then this patience leads us to kindness as we put up with the weaknesses of others, imitating our Lord Jesus. And kindness doesn't rejoice in evil, but in what is good. Goodness is faithful and true. There's no deceit in it. Gentleness comes as a fruit because the gospel doesn't coerce. It woos and wins over the heart. The last of the fruits mentioned is self-control. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't entail an obnoxious display of emotion, as if that's the sign of true spirituality, but the Holy Spirit makes us reverent. The peace in which we live enables us to control ourselves. But we fail, don't we? The works of the flesh rise up to claim us. We fall into sin. And what are we going to do then? We reclaim our inheritance in God's kingdom. We claim the promise that God gave us in our baptism. God named us there, joined his name to ours, washed us in the blood of the Lamb, joined us to the crucifixion and resurrection of his dear Son. That is who we Christians are. We're forgiven of all our sins. We're children of God. So we walk in the Spirit and rejoice in the privilege of being Christians. And we thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast sponsored by the congregations of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. Come and join us at one of our congregations for Sunday morning worship at 8 o'clock, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, 9:30, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and 11:30, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.